When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Studio in Nitro, West Virginia. This is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt, and next week is not secret exhibition basketball. We're here. I know we're here. Computer rankings are coming out. There's lots of excitement. Let's start with the computer rankings. Not technically exciting, other than that's a sign that basketball's around the corner. Eric Haslam's computer has spit out its numbers, has WVU 95th in Division I basketball. That's good for last place in the Big 12. That's fine. Evan Mayakawa's computer, beep, boop, beep. WVU in his computer, 84th in Division I. That's good for 14 out of 16 Big 12 teams. Ken Pomeroy's computer will speak up soon. You got to expect, coming off a 9-win season and a new roster, humans, computers, doesn't matter. You don't get like a benefit of the doubt. Oh, good coach, good additions. You're going to be a winner. Like Kentucky, Calipari, and Arkansas might get away with that. WVU, robots, computers, and humans agree. You got to set the bar low. And if you've ever listened to this podcast, you know I love low expectations. I mean, you have low expectations if you're a frequent listener to this podcast, and I appreciate you. Low expectations are easier to exceed. The computers are underpromising. I'm guessing the Big 12 coaches are going to underpromise, and it doesn't guarantee West Virginia is going to overdeliver this season, but it does make it easier, especially if they get picked 16th. There's nowhere to go but up. You can only meet expectations. When we know this from last season. What else is exciting? Recruiting. You know how, like, recruiting works for college, where coaches go out and see high school players, and they're like, hey, come to our school, we'll give you a scholarship and money. Like the colleges don't give money, but there's money within that conversation now. But DeVries has been at WVU for 6 months. He has 5 high school recruits so far, including 2 since I've last been on this microphone. For the next recruiting class, 2025, 3-star guy, top prospect in West Virginia, and Kelvin Odie, O-D-I-H, 6'4". He's the 5th, he's a 4-star, 5th highest rated WVU commitment since 24/7 Sports has been keeping track of this stuff. That puts him in company of, like, he's sandwiched between Elijah Macon and Devin Williams, and a little behind the best recruit you can think of in this century. Kevin Jones, Oscar Tshiebwe, Devin Ebanks. Like, that's the list. So that's great. And for a first-year coach coming off a 9-win season for the program, not his 9-win season, that's impressive to recruit a 4-star for 2025. And the money's probably decent. Like, the money's got to be all right, eh? I don't know how that works, but I know that's a piece of the credit pie is cash or checks or, you know, Zelle or whatever. More exciting news. The full TV schedule has come out for WVU's 2024-2025 season. Last year, because of the circumstances, it was truly a secret club, a VIP experience. Their first conference game last year that wasn't on ESPN Plus or Rest in Power, the Longhorn Network, was in the middle of February. The season starts in November. It ends for most teams in March. mid-February is when WVU basketball saw the light of not having to click specifically looking for WVU. I guess you got to click specifically to your cable channel or your YouTube TV or whatever. This year, four conference games will be on cable by the middle of February. So we're peeking into the light. Now, that light is the CBS Sports Network, okay? Which is technically not streaming, but I do think you can stream that on Paramount Plus. Regardless, that's more visibility, and that's so it's less of a secret club. Yes, West Virginia plays the same amount of ESPN Plus games this year or this season compared to last season. There's 18 ESPN Plus games. So get your finances in order if you haven't already to get your ESPN Plus subscription to follow this team. But we're swapping Longhorn Network for ACC Network. I think that's a step up since the Longhorn Network doesn't exist and was only focused on one team. We've swapped Fox games, so no Fox this season. Five CBS Sports Network games. More John Rothstein in our lives, which I won't complain about that. He's a loon. And of course, as WVU improves, which I believe is going to happen, then the TV audiences will get larger. It goes along with the success, but similar to the computer rankings, first-year coach coming off a 9-win season, going to be picked low in the Big 12 preseason rankings. You get a ton of ESPN Plus games. That's how it works. And everybody gets their share, but you're going to get a lot of them. More exciting news. Podcast guest this week, Keenan Cummings, managing editor for WVSports.com, Rivals Network. He joins the podcast, gives his thoughts on DeVries and the upcoming season. Let's hear that interview with Keenan Cummings.
Nope.
Breaking news. The Big 12 offices heard me talking into a microphone about the Big 12 preseason rankings, and they're out. I don't have any papers to shake, but this is hot off the presses. West Virginia picked by the human coaches in the Big 12, 13th out of 16 teams. So that's a little bit higher. I truly expected something similar to the computers I told you about earlier. I was expecting 14th with the possibility of 16th. The 16th, the distinction goes to Utah, Colorado 15th, and Oklahoma State 14th. And we're looking right up at Arizona State. Kansas picked first. West Virginia starts the Big 12 schedule at Kansas. Second is Houston. West Virginia plays Houston twice this season. One first place vote for Arizona, but they end up fifth. Cincinnati, sixth. So 13th, definitely on the low end of the conference, has to be expected. And I like it. 13th is a bar that you can jump over. And if you jump over that bar, if you get into that 10 to 11 range, then you're a fringe NCAA tournament team. That's how it works because of the strength of this conference. 10th or 11th gets you in the conversation. You may be mentioned in the bracket matrix and may not make it, but like you're going to be on the list if you're the 11th best team in this conference this season. All right, here's Keenan.
This message comes from BetterHelp. Can you think of a time when you didn't feel like you could be yourself? Like you were hiding behind a mask? BetterHelp Online Therapy is convenient, flexible, and can help you learn to be your authentic self so you can stop hiding. Because masks should be for Halloween fun, not for your emotions. Take off the mask with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at tanker.com.
All right, Keenan Cummings, welcome back to Unreasonable Doubt, a podcast about West Virginia University basketball.
Very glad to be here. Always have a good time, Josh.
And man, we were talking about it before we start recording. We're coming off of one of the craziest 10-month stretches in WVU basketball history. Not going to get into all that, but I don't know about you, Keenan. I don't know if it's fatigue from those 10 months or the third straight season where we have a roster overhaul. Typically, you have excitement with a new coach, but from my perspective, there seems to be a lower than usual level of excitement for the upcoming men's basketball season. What's your take on that? What's your assessment of fan interest in the basketball program coming into this upcoming season?
I'm not sure if excitement would be the word I would use. I think there's more questions, intrigue that people have than necessarily, you know, you kind of knew what to expect under Bob Huggins. And last year, you know, you talked about that offseason. It was the offseason that would never end. I feel like we're still in it at sometimes. Even last season, there was a lot of optimism just based off the transfers West Virginia was able to pull in. But now it's kind of everyone's, I don't want to say in wait and see mode, but that's almost what they are. I think people think that Darren DeVries is a home run hire. I don't know how they feel about this season. You know, we'll see how it goes. But I think people know that they've got this right the long term. There's kind of a calming, a sense of calm around the program after really a hectic offseason and season in general. So, and then you have the football team, you know, distracting people right now. So I think it's all those things together. But I really see this thing picking up big time. You know, even on my message board, I'm getting a lot more basketball questions, you know, now as opposed to, you know, that usually picks up when the season starts. I think the closer we get, the more that excitement is going to bubble over. But I think everyone's coming into this with reasonable expectations. You know, you got an entire new roster, a new coaching staff. Yes, in the transfer portal era, you can win faster, but it's still an adjustment. So I think that's what it is more than just general excitement, because I know a lot of people are really excited about the future of this basketball program.
I'm one of those, and it is. It's almost maybe paralyzed by all of the newness around it and what to do with that as far as setting expectations up. And so let's talk about DeVries. He's been in Morgantown for 6 months now. It's hard to believe. How would you describe somebody just getting in, like, you know, yawn, oh, what's going on with basketball? Oh, new coach. Coach DeVries, how would you describe his personality to somebody who hasn't read up on DeVries or seen any of the press conferences? Give me your take on DeVries as a personality.
I like the guy. You know, I think I like the way he explains things. He's very technical in the way he explains things. For lack of a better term, answers your questions pretty directly. Sometimes when you ask the guy that used to be there, it would go in a completely different direction.
Sure.
So I think that, you know, there's a lot to like about him. You know, he likes to have fun, joke around a little bit. I thought it was incredible the other day. If anybody didn't see it in his press conference, he said he's never gotten a technical foul.
I saw that. That's hard to believe.
That just blows my mind. I'm usually a pretty calm guy for the most part, and I could definitely see me getting a few, you know, in games. So that's incredible to me in 6 years being a head coach at the high level that he's coached, you know, in the Missouri Valley Conference. I think that's pretty incredible. And that speaks to really what West Virginia fans can expect, I think, out of him. You know, pretty calm demeanor guy. He likes to work, gets after his team in practice. You know, I think that was something interesting that you kind of find out, because, you know, I'm learning about him just as much as you guys are, you know, right, in a sense, as a journalist on the beat. You know, it's different. It's definitely different than everything that I've known since I've been doing this. You know, it was Bob Huggins and then Josh Eilert, who was obviously worked under Bob Huggins. So different personalities, but kind of the same coaching tree. This is an entirely fresh new take. And, you know, it's exciting. You know, I think fans are going to be excited too, because the brand of basketball that he wants to play kind of mirrors that. You know, it's fun, you know, open-ended, kind of positionless, five-out offense. And then defense, you know, they want to try to limit people to one shot and get out in transition. People have been complaining about pace, basketball in a phone booth, whatever you want to say, forever. This is going to be a lot different than that.
Yeah, and why I saw Drake last year. I was focused on Indiana State and Josh Schertz and thinking that was a possible candidate. And so watched every time that they played Drake. And what you're describing is what I saw. I mean, just not anything like
elaborate sets, but just fun, five out, people cutting, like just good, fun to watch basketball on offensive side. And then the stats point to what you're talking about, Keenan, as far as limit to one possession, boxing out. I mean, you're seeing it in the extended highlights on YouTube of guys getting butts on players. I just haven't seen as much as the last 5 years, last 15 years, a focus on offensive rebounding. As far as the boxing out part, it comes through in my limited watching of Drake. And so that's what we can expect with the style of DeVries, right? Is they might be undersized as a whole, but he's always had undersized teams, and the goal has been box your guy out, limit to one possession.
Yeah, they will. Defensive rebounding is big for them. You know, they want to get out in transition, they want to run, and you know, once they get down on the other end, they want to try to score. You know, they'll put their big out and pass it around, which I think fits with what West Virginia's roster is. You know, you got an undersized five and Amani Hansberry, but you know, he can do a lot of things with picking and popping, and you know, it's going to be fun to watch. It's just a different brand, and I'm excited to see it. You know, it's not that I have nothing wrong with what happened before. I don't want to give that impression. But it's fun at times to get a fresh take. You know, after 8 years on the football side of Dana Holgorsen, it was fun to get a fresh take, you know, with what Neil could do. So I want to see really, you know, how it all fits together. And I think the thing that stands out to me the most just talking with him so far is this isn't his first rodeo doing this. You know, he's done this twice, completely rebuilt teams, 10-plus guys at Drake, and he's won 20 games in both those seasons. You know, over 20 games, honestly. So he's done it before. And I think that he knows that, you know, there's some limitations, especially defensively with a small five, but, you know, they can do some things. You know, they can trap. You know, it's all about communication, and connectivity is the buzzword that he says a lot. Pretty much says it anytime he's talking basketball. You can tell that that's really important, and that's on both ends of the floor.
Sure. And while they may be undersized five, I don't think they're undersized truly. I mean, you've got some taller guards, good size wing players in Okani.
And guys can switch too. I mean, you have a lot of guys that can defend multiple positions.
Right. You've got a bunch of guys between 6'4 and 6'7, which lends itself to being able to play against multiple positions. And so you've got Offrey is the only returning guy. So roster overhaul, 12 new scholarship players, including his son Tucker, 2-time Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year. How do you think Tucker DeVries' game, he's going to step up? I mean, going from the Missouri Valley, which was no slouch conference, to the best conference in America, in my opinion. How do you think Tucker's game is going to translate into Big 12 play?
I think he's going to be fine. You know, with what he does, you know, he's a really smart player. He puts himself in good positions. He's going to be a guy that, you know, they can run offense through. He'll be fine. I'm really not worried about him. I think the two players on the team, you're just absolutely sure of, just from, you know, seeing them. Javon Small, yes, and Tucker DeVries. Now, everybody else, I don't want to say I'm not sure of them, but, you know, we'll see how some of that stuff translates. Yosefu has played, you know, in the Big 12. He did fairly well at Kansas as a role player. You know, if Western Virginia can get the same thing out of him, you know, from a bench perspective, I think it's a pretty good roster. But, yeah, I think that Tucker is a guy that people had, you know, considered as a possible NBA draft pick. So if you can play in the NBA, you can definitely play in the Big 12.
Absolutely. And besides Tucker, and you mentioned Javon Small, they got five other seniors on the roster. And you mentioned Yosefu. Of those other guys, let's take out Tucker and Javon. Who do you think will have the biggest impact on winning games this season from the six seniors, seven seniors, excluding Tucker and Javon?
To me, it's probably Okani, just because of what he can do defensively, what he'll mean to them defensively. And he's a guy that can pretty much guard up and down. You know, if you're playing a smaller team with a five, he can pretty much guard anybody on the floor. And he's a lot better offensively than people give him credit for. Runner-up would probably be Jaden Stone. I'm really interested to see what they do with him. You know, he was a guy that at Detroit, you know, he had to do everything for them. Kind of not really his comfort zone. He had to score 20 points a game and really just take a ton of shots. Here, he'll be able to play more off the ball, you know, be able to catch and shoot. And he's hit at a high percentage in his career when he's had that role. So it's close with those two, but I like defense. So I think what Okani gives them there is going to play a lot too, because it also will allow them to kind of mix and match him and Tucker, you know, on the offensive defensive end as well, because they can kind of flip.
Right. Yeah. I think he's of the guys coming in, which does seem not better or worse, but different, is guys like Ohtani, guys like Harris from Illinois. With you see their highlight clips on YouTube and you see defensive stuff where, not that they weren't recruited in the past, it's just they weren't brought in for that focus. Maybe a Jesse Edwards in that role, but like Ohtani for sure. Harris is who I'm looking at as like really good defensive pedigree that kind of adds to the mix as far as bringing in all new guys. And so you've got five scholarship players outside of the seniors, two sophomore transfers from Illinois, three true freshmen. Imani Hansberry has been asked about in press conferences. I'm curious about your thoughts on Sincere Harris and the freshman Jonathan Powell, the 6'6 guard from Dayton. Give me your thoughts on those two. What have you heard about Harris and Powell?
Well, Harris is much like Ohtani defensively. You touched on it a little bit. You know, he's a guy that he's really, really good. I think West Virginia is going to be able to use him there, and his offensive game's developing. You know, people forget that, you know, I know that his numbers were pretty modest at Illinois, but he was a high major recruit. He had a lot of offers, a lot of attention. He has a history with Chester Frazier. I'm kind of interested to see how he's going to develop offensively. I'm not worried about his defense at all. You know, I think that he's going to be one of West Virginia's best defenders from the jump.
Right.
But I want to see kind of how he fits in offensively and if he's able to really develop his game to the point where he can be a factor. I think that's going to be the biggest question there. In terms of Powell, I really like that ad. You know, you don't normally add a guy that caliber that late in the process. He opened up, was committed to Xavier for a while and signed there actually, and got requested a release from his national letter of intent. Took a visit to West Virginia a few days later and that thing was wrapped up. He's got great size. He's like 6'6", obviously can shoot the ball. You know, he hit the most threes on that Italy
trip that went on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He hit the most threes on the team and really was a reliable shooter. I think I don't want to place ridiculous expectations on him because he's a true freshman, but, you know, I think he's going to hit some shots for him. And again, you know, versatility. And that's something you see up and down the board. You know, I think that's why, you know, a guy like Ohtani was someone that DeVries made sure to get. You know, he really prioritized him when we were trying to figure out who they were recruiting, you know, what was going on. That was one of the first guys he was in on. And I think that speaks up and down the board. You know, they want those versatile pieces that can kind of play that positionless basketball we were talking about earlier.
Sure. And so, Keenan, before we know it, I mean, next Friday is the Not Secret Exhibition versus Charleston. You had a starting five in Italy, but Tucker was out. I think Yusufu was still injured, didn't play. So your guess, who do you think starts for the Mountaineers next Friday in the Not Secret Exhibition versus Charleston?
Now this one's tough.
It's tough, right?
I've been thinking about this for a while though, trying to figure this out. And I had a projection. Let me see if I can find it here. I actually wrote it down. Okay, this is what I think that Hansberry is going to be your starter at the five. I like DeVries at the four, Ohtani at the three, reverse them on the other end. You know, you can interchange them. Stone is the two, Small is the one. I think that is your starting five right now.
Interesting. Maybe Yusufu creeps in, but maybe he wants him. I think that's the interesting part of this roster is with the number of guards that could play and have rotation minutes. What's the best? It's one of those where we've talked about in other seasons where, you know, Huggins would go 10, 11 deep. And so it didn't really matter as much, the starting five. Maybe you have this here, especially at the guard position where it's Imani or it's Ed at the five. Tucker's in there. And then the next three, Stone, you could start. Harris, you could start. Maybe that'd be a jump, but you got Yusufu as a fifth year guy who's played under DeVries. It'll be interesting to see who he goes with, but I think he's got options there for sure.
Yeah. And I think Yusufu too, he's played that role before. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good ad if you get him for that type of role, you know, that guard. And if he's in the game, you know, you can take Small off the ball. Yeah, he could play there as well. So you have a lot of mixing and matching you can do, and with their defensive versatility, it'll allow them to do a lot more things on that end as well. So I think it's going to be fun to see how it's mixed and matched. You know, I want to see what the rotation, how deep it is to start, and then do you trim it down as the season goes? That typically happens, but who knows? You know, there's a lot of pieces and a lot of questions that we're going to, I don't know if we'll have them answered, you know, in the first half of the season in the non-conference, but we'll have a pretty good idea what this is going to be looking like.
Sure. And I've seen clips of Tucker bringing the ball down the court for Drake. So I think he's got a point guard background in his career. So it should be interesting. Let's just lay it out, because I think there's a lot of questions. And so with that comes, what's the proper expectations? And you mentioned that a little bit earlier as far as the level of excitement for the team this year. What do you think should be the proper expectations for a first-year coach in the best conference that I think got better? It's the best conference that, and they added Arizona and Colorado and Utah are not bad adds. Arizona State can be really good, like as a program. What's the proper expectations for this season, first-year coach in this Big 12?
It's honestly hard to say, and I'm usually more direct than that. But their schedule, if they can get through January reasonably, you know, with a record that's within shot, I think there's a chance they could win, you know, 18, 20 games this year, maybe. It's hard. The thing is, it's like usually when you make these adjustments, you automatically, it's a rebuilding year. It's a rebuilding year. But the process of putting this team together, clearly they're not expecting it to be a rebuilding year. They have a lot of seniors. You know, some really good players that they brought in through the transfer portal. But then, you know, there's the schedule. This is a pretty difficult schedule for a first year coach anywhere.
You play Houston twice. You go to Kansas to start the league. You play 20 games, no bye week. You play Gonzaga. And then, regardless of win or loss, you're going to play teams that are picked in the top half of major conferences, power conferences. And you can be, my opinion, Keenan, especially this year, you can be the 10th best team in the Big 12 and be a really good team.
Like, yeah, and that's going to help them.
Right.
I mean, I do think that. I mean, I think I'm going to shoot a little low here, but I think if they get to 19, that would be a really, really good season. Like, really good.
Oh, yeah.
Considering the schedule. If they get to 18, 17, I wouldn't be disappointed in that necessarily, because the gauntlet they've got to play. So,
oh, yeah. I mean, so that's like a 7-9 conference wins, the bye games taken care of this year compared to last year. And that gets you in that range. Yeah. I think it'd be amazing to get in that 7-9 wins in a 20 game Big 12 for a first year coach with all new players. Yeah.
I think the expectations have to be a little higher on whether it's fair or not, just because of the transfer portal era.
Sure.
But I do, until we really see it live, and it's hard to really go, but that's what I'm feeling right now. I'm not going to go in the 20s. I think that's being optimistic, although could I see a pathway that happens? Yes, but somewhere in that 17-19 wins, I mean, that's still a pretty good year overall.
I mean, one of the computer rankings came out. It's they've got Houston, Kansas, and Arizona, three of the top four, and that's like... And I'm guessing there's going to be, you know, these Ken Palm's going to come out and these other computer rankings. I think Evan Maya is coming out tomorrow. You could have 9 teams from the Big 12 and the top 30 teams in Division I. And these are preseason things, and the season has to play out. But just on paper, you got to play, and West Virginia plays Houston twice. They've got a tough schedule coming up. So it's going to be interesting. And so speaking of expectations, and I'll leave it with this, Keenan, where do you think WVU will be picked in the Big 12 preseason poll out of 16 teams? And then what's your guess for their seeding in the Big 12 tournament in March?
I think it's going to be lower, just the way things go now, kind of like football was the year before. A lot of these things, you know, I cover West Virginia football and basketball, and it's hard for me to even, you know, keep up with some of the roster turnover sometimes. Forget learning 16 teams.
Right.
So a lot of people are going to look at the returning starters, and there's nothing for West Virginia. So I think they're going to be picked low. Yeah.
16th is possible, right?
It's in the realm. I don't think it will be. I think they'll be somewhere 12 to 16, and I've made this prediction already earlier this year. I think that this team will finish higher than they're projected.
Based on the pedigree of DeVries and my impression of him, I think he's going to overachieve that. But I want people to be prepared
one or something.
Right.
But I don't think that's going to happen. I do think that they'll be picked higher than, they will finish higher than where they're picked.
It's going to be fun and it's coming quick. Keenan Cummings, thank you for joining me again on Unreasonable Doubt, a podcast about West Virginia University basketball.
Always a great time, Josh.
Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Go to smokingmusket.com. Read the articles about WVU sports. Listen to West by Pod, another podcast under the Smoking Musket umbrella about football. Joel and Jordan do a great job there. Join the Smoking Musket Discord. Follow Smoking Musket on social media. Do all that stuff and join me underneath the Smoking Musket umbrella.
Big thanks to Keenan for joining me on the podcast. Read his stuff at wvsports.com. Follow him on Twitter, X, at Rivals Keenan, KEENAN. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms. Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Overcast Podcast, Spotify Podcast, YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh Witt. WVU for the 2024-2025 season. They have 0 wins and they have 0 losses.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.